Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, I am delighted that the 15th Biennial Ashkenaz Festival has begun and will be on until September the 6th at locations across Toronto. Now, I've got my events and tickets lined up and I'm ready to welcome out-of-town family. That's how it's always been for us. But for the first time since 1995, the Ashkenaz Festival will not take place at Harbourfront Centre. The biggest issue has been sharply increased security costs, but I think there is more to it than that, and that is the context of having a festival like this amid the horrific increase in anti-Semitism. So, people, what do you think? Are you planning to go? 866-744-740-416-360-0740. And now I'd like to welcome Eric Stein, the Artistic Director of Toronto's Ashkenaz Festival. Hi, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so tell us about the festival. It started yesterday in Kensington Market. How did that go?
It was fantastic. It exceeded all expectation. I have to be honest, it was really an extraordinary day and really had that feedback coming from everybody that was there, that there was really something special that took place. So many people were like, oh my God, this is so much better than Harbourfront Center. This is awesome. You know, it's certainly different, better, different, who knows? These are different calculations, but we were definitely off to a very, very strong start. And I would say the most beautiful thing about moving in this direction to go to Kensington Market is that we're able to still access a very, very large multicultural audience. Thousands of people come to Pedestrian Sundays in Kensington Market, and putting the festival in that context allows us to share that with the entire community, and that's so important to us as an organization.
Uh-huh. And describe what was happening there.
So anybody that's been to Pedestrian Sundays in Kensington before knows that it's a beautiful kind of chaos where there are some sanctioned activities that are organized directly by the Kensington BIA. And then each of the different businesses in the market plan their own activations. So you can walk down the street during one of these Sundays, and every 10 feet, you'll start hearing a different kind of music playing. You'll hear or smell a different kind of food. Certainly everywhere you look, it's incredibly colorful. You see the whole picture of multicultural Toronto there. In terms of what we brought for our piece of it, we had four different stages running, two outside and two in indoor venues, in addition to a couple other activations that were present throughout the market. And then we, sort of the climactic moment of the day, we had our Ashkenaz parade that wound its way through the entire market for an hour between 6 and 7. And was really an extraordinarily beautiful thing.
But there were some disruptions, right?
There was a very, very minor disruption. And, you know, it's interesting because leading up to this, there was anxiety for us. And we've heard it from people in the community about whether or not they'd be coming to a place where they would be accosted and made to feel uncomfortable. Leading up to things over the last couple weeks, we've seen a lot of pretty disgusting commentary on social media posts and advertisements of ours. Stuff that really just says more about the ignorance of the people posting, but at the same time conveys an impression of maybe there's a threat here. Maybe people are going to come and try to disrupt this thing. And even the night before, you know, Saturday, I was pretty anxious about it. There was one post in particular that was very disturbing to see. As it turned out, so that one post we were following it the day before, we flagged it for our security professionals so that they could follow it as well. And the people who had put this up, they were saying, we're going to meet at 12 o'clock and we're going to march through the market and say what we want to say and, you know, whatever it was. So 12 o'clock came around and we were watching the spot where they were planning to meet. Six people showed up. They had a flag. They had two signs with pretty ignorant slogans on them, and they walked through the market a couple times, you know, maybe over the course of an hour and a half. They were nonviolent, I would say that. They were not directly trying to disrupt anything other than being present. So a lot of people either didn't just didn't pay attention. Some people flipped them the bird, but for the most part, it was a very, very minor disruption. And I think this is an important point. I came home from the event last night and I was looking on social media at some of the, you know, postings that other people have made. And I saw an organization that is specialized in fighting anti-Semitism. And of course, I support the work that they do. But they took a 40-second video excerpt of these six people in the market, and they wrapped it up in a little sticker banner to put on their channel that made it seem like we were attacked and it was a big problem. And I think it speaks to the fact that there's a kind of economy of fear and a hysteria mentality that is getting stoked by media, and particularly by social media. I certainly won't deny that there is a problem. There is 100% there is a problem. But I don't know that it's helped when something is blown up and distorted in this way, when it was really completely insignificant.
Yeah, and I have to say, I was at dinner at a neighbor's on Saturday night, and the hostess asked me pointedly a number of times, saying, "Are you worried about going to a Jewish event?" And I'm sure that a lot of people have been asked that and are thinking that. And I say, absolutely not. I know that the move from Harborfront was partly because of security costs, but if nothing, I mean, we have great security. And I think I agree with you. There is a danger, and I hope I'm not contributing right now to blowing this out of proportion.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's important that we talk about this problem and that we talk about it in a variety of ways. And you know, it's so easy these days for things to turn into binary narratives where it's black and white and there's no room for nuance. So I'm a very nuanced person in that way, and details and shades of gray are what I think most things are about. And in this case, I think 100% we need to keep talking about this problem. We need to keep talking about the fact that many Jewish people do feel unsafe to go out into downtown spaces and into public spaces and be very visibly Jewish. And that is a real problem. There's no question about that. But we should be accurate and honest about the way we report what we see. And, you know, it's not to say if we did this again next week, next year, next month, whatever, that we wouldn't have more problems. I don't know. But I would say that my feeling from yesterday was a really a strong affirmation of the sense that the kind of multicultural Canada that I grew up in over the last half century, you know, which has, it's changed. The feeling of it has changed over the last 10 years, I would say. But it really felt like a little bit of a throwback yesterday that, you know, people can come together from different cultures and backgrounds, and we can all just be inspired and have joyful experiences by experiencing great music and leaving the politics at the door.
Yeah, I agree, because that's one of the things, you know, I think back to the beginning, and we've been involved since the beginning, and it was just so different then. But I'm going to take a call from Helen in Toronto. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Libby. I've been, as you know, feeling alone because of the anti-Semitism that's all around me. Now, yesterday, I had to be in a Jewish atmosphere. I had to be where people of my own kind were celebrating and were happy. And I went up to Eric and I said to him, this is exactly what I needed. Not only were the Jewish people dancing, but there were all other ethnic groups dancing with us at the parade. And Eric was very pleased that I was vocal enough to come up, as you know, and say to him that it was wonderful. And I also want to thank you, Sam, and
Moses.
Moses, right. I'm trying to put a bandage on at the same time. And Moses, for sponsoring. I mean, this is a big event. It costs a lot of money. There are a lot of people involved. But I needed yesterday, and I went up to Eric, and I said to him, listen, I really needed this, and it's something that I had to attend.
Okay, thank you for that, Helen. And Eric, I'm sure you know who Helen is. What are some of the highlights? I know I'm really looking forward. There's a really interesting sounding performance tonight. It's the Dobrenich, I don't know the rest of their name, and it combines klezmer music with contemporary circus.
That's correct. It's called Cirque Dobrenich. This is a fantastic, one of the legendary European klezmer bands. We've had them at the festival a number of times before, but this is a new show of theirs that combines their music with aerial performance and all sorts of other physical theater. The show is, I believe, pretty close to sold out, if it isn't already at this point. And it is just a one night only, but Dobrenich is around for the rest of the week, and they'll be playing at some of our events next weekend as well.
Okay, give us some more of the highlights.
Yeah, so tomorrow evening, from Tuesday through Thursday, we're going to have three shows at Lula Lounge. The first one is a concert from by an artist from Sweden named Louisa Line, and she performs Yiddish translations of Leonard Cohen's songs and poetry. Really, really artful, really beautiful music. So that's definitely worth checking out. Wednesday night, our festival artist in residence this year is Netta Al-Kayam, who is a Moroccan Jewish performer. This is the first time that we've had a Sephardic artist as the artist in residence at the Ashkenaz Festival. She performs amazing North African Jewish music, mostly in Moroccan Arabic. And infused with jazz and electronica. It's really, really interesting, very, very cutting edge, and an amazing sort of amalgamation of new and old. Then on Thursday, we have a double bill with two amazing Yiddish acts, one from Australia, the other one from Argentina. And one is called the Besheva Singers, and they create sort of contemporary folk pop Yiddish music. And Alejandra Charney is the Argentinian performer. She currently lives in Miami, but she has her interpretation of Yiddish music is very heavily shaped by Latin American musical styles. And then we get to the weekend, and that's when we start to move a little further north. Friday night, we've got a series of three concerts at three shuls in the Bathurst and Eglinton area. And those concerts are designed to be experienced in sequence. So you walk from one to the other. We call it the shul crawl. And then on Saturday, September 5th, we will be at Earl Bales Park for a free concert with three acts headlined by the Klezmatics. This is the 40th anniversary of the Klezmatics. They were at our very first festival in 1995, and they are iconic representations of the contemporary klezmer world. They're the only klezmer band to win a Grammy Award. And so we're very, very excited for that in Earl Bales Park next Saturday. And
then we have Sunday, to hope for good weather for that one. That's the one my 100%. Family is supporting.
Yeah, for sure. And then on Sunday, we'll be wrapping up at the Prosserman JCC campus, which is at Shepherd and Bathurst in the heart of Jewish Toronto. And that'll be a full afternoon program with multiple performances. And then in the evening, we'll conclude with two more performances inside the theater there. And it's a mix of klezmer and Persian Jewish music, Bukharan music. We have an artist named Susanna Bahar, who's Cuban Venezuelan, and she mixes Afro-Cuban rhythms into her interpretation of Sephardic Ladino songs. So it's really, you know, the festival is really very much a festival of Jewish world music. We seek to represent the full range of the Jewish experience as expressed through music. And of course, that's an experience that is diasporic, and has been all over the world. So it's really fertile ground as an artistic director to look for interesting versions of Jewish music from unexpected places.
So it is beyond Ashkenaz, actually.
Oh, it's way beyond Ashkenaz at this point. And, you know, we've been talking about that name for a long time and thinking maybe we need to make a change, and maybe we will after this year. We'll see.
And we have only a few seconds left, last 20 seconds. What would you like to leave us with?
Oh, I just hope anybody listening will open their mind and heart to what we're presenting, and really come and experience extraordinary music that will inspire, surprise, and delight you.
Okay. Eric Stein, Artistic Director of Ashkenaz, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Libby.
Okay. That is all the time we have for Fight Back for today. Follow us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram. I'll be back here tomorrow, and we'll talk then.